Today's date is March 9th, 2009.
My name is William Vandiver. I'm 83 years old. I was born on June the 17th, 1925.
Where were you born?
I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at St. John's Hospital.
So then you went to school from elementary here?
I went to elementary schools, Elliott, then Horace Mann, then Central. And by that time, I began to develop some of my own ideas, which were not too popular with my parents. So they sent me to St. John's Military Academy in Delafield, Wisconsin, for the last years of high school. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because the year I graduated from St. John's, I went into the Army. And I'd already had 2 years' training, which meant I was ahead of most all the guys.
Did you go in at a special rank then because of that?
No, no special rank. I went into the Air Force. I went into the Aviation Training Program.
So that would have been in the 40s because of...
Be 43. I went into their college detachment, and I was trained to be an aviator. So I had to go through basic, like any other GI, and then they sent me to college in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
What school was that?
Tennessee State College. And they put all the cadets through a crash course, including calculus, by the way, and weather and engines. And we had to run 7 miles every day. One-third of the Corps dropped out because they could not make the 7 miles a day.
And you weren't one of the dropouts.
I wasn't one of the dropouts. I made it.
So you completed that?
Yes. From there, I went to primary training in Dothan, Alabama. And we flew the Stearman 17, which had two wings. And at that school, we learned aerobatics. And in fact, remember, 18 years old, we had no sense. We had no judgment. We did things that, when I think back about it, absolutely frightened me.
So you were a pilot?
I was a pilot. In Dothan, I was in training on a PT-17, and that's the two-wing plane with the open cockpits. We learned that training so well that they required us. When you land at an airport, there's a pattern. You've got a downwind leg and a crosswind leg, and then you've got an approach. So we had to come in to the downwind leg upside down, turn, go to the crosswind leg, and then turn and go on the approach. And then about 100 feet before you hit the ground, you flipped it back over and landed.
Oh, my. Oh. first time you tried that, you were pretty nervous, though.
Really not. I didn't have any judgment. I didn't have any sense. I was 18 years old. The world was mine. I don't feel that way now.
No.
When you start a PT-17, a mechanic has to grab the propeller and pull it. And they have to take the prime pump and prime it. I went up one day, and my mechanic left the prime pump open, and my engine flooded. It was in Georgia, nothing but pine trees. I saw a little pea patch, tiny pea patch. Well, the first thing I did is I climbed out on the wing, going to jump. Lost my nerve and climbed back in. So I went into my pattern and got onto my approach on that little pea patch. And in order to get into the pea patch, when I got the plane over the pea patch, I had to stall it. And when you stall a plane, it starts dropping. So I stalled the plane and dropped into that pea patch. Had to take that plane apart to get it out. And then, of course, I went into the next stage.
Well, wait a minute here now. What was your condition when you came down in that plane?
My pants were wet. That's it.
Wow. You were fortunate.
Yeah, then I went into the next stage of training, another field. And then there was a third stage of training, which was advanced. And we flew an AT-6s there, great airplane. And then we went through gunnery in Eglin Field, learned how to shoot planes down. And one of my buddies shot me in the leg.
How'd that happen?
He just missed, that's all, because the planes would pull a tow cart. It was a cloth, big piece of cloth, about 40 feet long. That cloth would assimilate a plane. So we took turns pulling that cloth. And the planes had two 30-caliber machine guns in each wing, and they would dive onto that cloth. Well, one of my buddies missed, and a bullet went through the cockpit of the tow plane.
Wow. So you had presence of mind to land that plane, even though you were wounded?
It was just a little piece of shrapnel on my leg. We just kept going. Remember, we didn't have any sense.
That's right.
And so then, after gunnery training, I was put in the invasion force of Japan. I was checked out in P-40 and P-51, primary P-40. And Harry Truman saved my life.
How's that?
He dropped the bomb, and the invasion force of Japan was brought back to America.
You would have been in the thick of it.
Right. And, of course, I asked for a discharge because I wanted to go into business. I did not want to become a commercial pilot, although I had a commercial pilot's license and an instrument rating.
So then were you discharged?
Mm-hmm.
They granted that.
Mm-hmm. Granted honorable discharge.
And then what did you do?
Then I went for a year at Tulsa University. Of course, being in a retail family, I'd already worked in the store. I'd already worked in the men's department. I'd already worked in the cosmetic department. And so after church on Sunday, the whole family went to the store, and I went with them.
The store wasn't open on Sunday.
No, the store wasn't open Sunday. And I had spent some time being an assistant buyer. So I went to TU, took a course in merchandising, and started flunking it. I went to the dean and explained to him that the textbook was not right, that it was 10 years old, and that I had been trained otherwise. I dropped out of the class, and they didn't show it on my record. Then I went to New York University and took their four-year course in retailing in 1 year, and I worked in B. Altman on the flying squad. B. Altman Department Store, one of the great stores of our times. Hmm. It's no longer open. It was just a block from the Empire State Building.
B. Altman.
B. Altman. And it was on Madison Avenue. And retailing moved uptown in New York. And I believe that was one of their problems. But it was a great merchandising institution. I was on the flying squad.
Flying squad.
Yes. If they had a crowd in a certain department, then they would send me there. One day, they had a crowd at the handbag department. There was a sale going on. Only old ladies were in the handbag department. You can picture that, handbag and old lady. And so I outsold every lady in the department. And so they complained to management and asked them not to send me there anymore.
Ladies would rather buy handbags from a male, from you, than for these ladies.
Whatever it was. Well, I was young. I was, 20 years old, 19, yeah. 20 years old.
Right.
So anyway, I went there for a year. And then I came back to Tulsa, and I became the buyer of basement dresses, daytime dresses, coats and suits and sportswear. It was a natural to me. Then I was promoted to buyer of Missy's. Missy's coats, suits, sportswear, and lingerie.
You were buying lingerie?
Sure.
How many years did you do that?
Well, I worked there about a year and a half, and I did very, very well. I installed unit control, of which the early merchants didn't know too much about.
What was unit control?
Unit control was where you set up a big graph, and you kept track of every sale by classification. And if you saw a dress starting to sell, then you reordered that dress. If you saw a dress that was not going to sell, then you put it on the markdown list for sale. It's called unit control.
Was that a relatively new?
Relatively new for Tulsa,
yeah,
but not for the big stores in New York. I was very successful in that operation, made money for the company, and then I was promoted to general merchandise manager of soft goods and ready-to-wear. And I was made the merchandise manager of half of the store. My father was still living, and he was a stubborn Dutchman.
And your father's name was?
Gary.
Okay.
He was still living. And I got him to sign a contract with me so I could make a commission if I made the store a lot of money. Got to understand the old-timers. I made a huge profit for them, took the numbers up to him at the end of the year, and said, tell the comptroller to write me my check. And he looked at that. He said, well, I'm not going to pay you that.
Had he agreed to?
Well, yeah, I had a contract. He said, I'm not going to pay you that. That was the end of that.
You continued to work, obviously.
Well, of course I did, right. And then I had a cousin who had the remainder of the store, had the hard goods and the men's and the piece goods, and he was unsuccessful. And so we bought him out.
And his name was?
Vince Vandiver. He's no longer living. We bought him out, and he went to Phoenix, Arizona, and opened a store on his own, which failed. Then he came back to Tulsa and demanded that he be put on salary in the store. And I refused. So he sued me for mismanagement.
Wow. And he was a cousin?
Cousin, huh?
He would have been the son of?
Boris Vandiver. So he sued me for mismanagement.
How did that turn out?
He lost it. There was no mismanagement.
But it actually went to court in Tulsa.
Yes, it did. It went to court. It hit the front page of the newspaper.
So that would have been in the 50s?
That would have been right around 1960.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.